Why are you wearing that stupid bunny suit?
Why are you wearing that stupid man suit?
I don't like any of this. The thing that creeps me out is that there's no... It's just white eyes. And the silence is fucking freaking me out.
Es tu papi puto.
Imagine. It's like... Soy tu papá puto.
This is our Halloween episode.
Fuck.
Happy Halloween!
Tricky, tricky, travesura! That's how we would scream. Tricky, tricky, travesura.
What does that mean?
Tricky, tricky is like, hey, give me some candy, and if you don't, travesura. We're going to do
I'll
some mischief.
Cut you? Is that what it?
We'll probably egg your house or maybe burn your car or something. I don't know.
Or burn what?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, my God.
Halloween, like, people think Halloween isn't celebrated in Mexico for some reason. It is. On the border, like if you're in the border region, like we, like if you grew up in a place like Tijuana, Halloween was a very real thing, and it still is.
But what about Mexico City?
No, not really. I mean, they probably now maybe, but it's. I mean, like people assume the Day of the Dead in Mexico that we've always had like parades and stuff like that. That only started after the James Bond movie recently,
yeah.
Where they have this parade, this death parade, James Bond. Invented Day of the Dead parades, basically. Wow. We started doing them after that movie hit, and the people are like, oh, that's a cool procession celebration that you do. It's like, we don't do it. That was just for the movie, but I guess we're going to have to do it now because everybody's expecting it.
I should probably take all this off. I should probably take off at least the head.
Yeah, the head. Yeah, the head is freaking freaking me out, whatever this thing is. Let's see this.
All right.
Oof. Just hold it by the ears like that. Imagine and staring it through your window. All right,
it's me.
It's a me, the furry man. Like, what is it about us in fur? I think this is becoming a theme. People are trying to speculate. They're starting to speculate about us and our obsession with furry costumes.
So the original thing that I was going to do was I was going to give you your furry costume. And then I was going to be like, oh, this is mine. I was going to have you be like, what the fuck is what is wrong with you? That's not a furry costume. And just be like, that's all I can find.
Yeah, Halloween. It is something we celebrate on the border.
Where is the popular place to... Sorry, I'm tangled up here in wires. What is the popular place to trick-or-treat?
Rich people neighborhoods.
And even in Tijuana?
Yeah. Okay. We go to rich people neighborhoods or we go to like big plazas.
So Revolution Street or the mall?
Yeah, people sometimes go to Revolution Street, but if you want to get into a fist fight and like deal with a bunch of drunks and stuff like that, you don't take your kids.
Can you
there.
Trick-or-treat at the Hong Kong Club?
You probably could. We're probably going to get more than candy.
What kind of treats have you gotten at the Hong Kong?
I don't know. I've never been there before.
Oh, that's so good.
I have no idea.
That's such a good... Good Catholic boy.
Halloween. It is a period. I mean, here we have two celebrations going on.
Mm-hmm.
One is Halloween, basically dressing up like witches and skeletons and just trick or treating. And the other one is Day of the Dead. It happens almost immediately after. Mm-hmm.
So Day of the Dead has been like forever kind of thing, right?
So
that's what I'm curious. What came first, Halloween or Day of the Dead?
Halloween is a way older celebration.
Okay.
And people are going to say, no, Day of the Dead is older. Day of the Dead is a product of a 1950s era Mexican effort to be proud of our national heritage.
Hmm.
So it's a government invented almost celebration where people, what we know now is that Day of the Dead does have some pre-Hispanic roots, but the celebration as it is with the Spanish bread and the sugar skulls that are not from this continent. They're
so the government made it. People
in the government
or corporations.
No corporations. Like the government was trying to make us proud of being Mexicans, and one of the things they said like, oh, all of these cultures in Mexico celebrate their ancestors and dead on different points of the year. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it all on one day, and All Saints Day is the day they chose for that.
So November 1st and 2nd.
Yeah, different places that celebrated differently. Like if partying at the cemetery basically is kind of like one of the main things that in some parts of Mexico happen. If you go to Michoacan, that's what they do. They, you'll have families showing up at the grave sites of their dead and covering them in marigold flowers and bringing some of the food that their ancestors used to like and music. You go further south and people will actually go to where their family is buried and dig them up a little bit and clean the bones and dress them and party with them for a while.
I die then, first, you better clean my fucking bones.
I'm gonna clean your
There's
bones.
One specifically that I really want you to clean.
No.
Where is that place that they do? You said it's on my, after you told me about it, I was like, we should go do that. The island that they do, like,
that's Michoacan. That's Michoacan.
But it's an island, right?
It's Pátzcuaro, I think, is the name of the
where
island.
They do the big day they did celebration.
Yeah. It's like if somebody wants to experience like Coco in real life, which again, that fucking movie ruined a lot of things, but if they want to experience that whole old cemetery covered in flowers and candles and all these families there and this celebration of death, that's Pátzcuaro.
But it's a little spicy in that area?
No. No. I mean, again, spicy compares it to what? Like, yeah. Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It's out there, but it's pretty safe there.
Does Tepito do anything on Day of the Dead that you know of?
The celebration, that they basically celebrate like a feast day of death on Day of the Dead, basically. Mm. And again, people want to prescribe this pre-Hispanic, that date. Was the when the Aztecs celebrated, because for some reason most people are Aztec centric in their conception of what Mexico was. It's a made up date. A lot of these celebrations were basically spread out through the year in different ways, and the ofrendas, the way that altars are set up, they're all kind of Catholic based, and they were basically kind of put together into what we now know as Day of the Dead during the 50s. It's an amazing, I mean, for me, it's, I got the experience being a kid of going to the cemetery and hanging out there with the dead, you know, yeah. And partying there and having food and stuff like that. And also at home, my family has always built an ancestor altar, is what they call it. You'll have a table set up with the pictures of all your deceased relatives. And over the span of a few days, you light candles, you put offerings up, you put food up. And on the first, you sprinkle some marigold flowers, flower petals from the altar all the way to your doorway, and you light candles with the intention of your dead finding their way back, so they can take the offerings and, you know, you can be with them for a bit, and then they, and away they go.
Has Santa Muerte, like, come into that Day of the Dead stuff at all, or is this kind of still its own thing?
I mean, skeleton figures and ladies that are skeletons have always kind of been around that celebration. Something they call La Catrina, which isn't necessarily the depiction of the Holy Death. It's just basically a lady dressed in a very fancy way with a big hat and being a skeleton is what you see iconography like. But it's I mean, there's a lot of opinions on Santa Muerte and that, but it's basically just a manifestation, a representation of how close death is to us as a culture here. That's all it is. But yeah, it's right now it's wild. See, growing up on the border, you see both celebrations at the same time. So like you're still counting your Halloween candy as offerings are being put up onto the altar, and now you're off to this different type of celebration.
Have you noticed? Because we were just walking down Revolution and stuff. Have you noticed that they're just putting up more and more decorations? Like, is it getting more like kind of American-fied?
Yeah. I mean, Tijuana's got, like, it's, we have a lot of Americans.
Yeah. Cause it looks like they are ready for Halloween here.
Yeah. It's a big event, and you know, people have, we take all the excuses we can to escape from reality.
I mean, even here at Suavecito, there's a ton of Halloween decorations.
Yeah. It's always been a thing. I grew up, I mean, I was born in the 80s, and I got to experience Halloween in Tijuana in the 80s. And it's like all the same costumes you would see in San Diego were the same ones you would see here. You know, the classic Star Wars costumes were like the Ben Cooper ones, which is like a weird,
like
plastic sheet with a drawing of whatever.
And then like this plastic mask.
Plastic mask that is, if you want to get run over, you wear that plastic mask because he's
super thin. You can't see.
Can't fucking see shit.
Yeah.
I remember growing up with those McDonald's plastic pails to ask for candy.
That was like the big reason like you would go get a Happy Meal during that time because they included that pail.
And one of the like in one very Mexican thing, and Avi won't let me lie about this. You go to a house and knock on the door. And you know, sometimes you'll get people just grabbing a handful of like these brand name American candies, Snickers, M&Ms, and you'd be like, yes. But then you would hit the next door and it would be like an orange.
Oh, fuck.
Or a piece of raw sugar cane with peanuts and maybe a few candies that are like 1,000 years old. And you'd be like, a bag of popcorn.
Yeah, they do that in the United States too sometimes.
I mean, I get it. Not everybody has enough, but you know, still, like as a kid, you're like,
"Fuck these popcorn giving motherfuckers."
It just tells you showed you how to be like bitter about some of these things.
Did you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever trick or treat on the United States side, or were you always just in TJ?
Always in TJ. I have family that would do that in the United States side, and then they would show me some of their like, oh, look at all the candy.
Their pillow.
I remember getting maybe like, you know, a little basket of candy maybe, and they would just show up to the house.
Look at my pillowcase.
You want some candy? And just dump out this bag of just.
Yeah.
And I'll be like anything M&M's related, I would just snipe.
Did you ever like trade candy like with your brothers? They didn't.
No,
or they would just take your shit.
Yeah, no. My two brothers were bigger than me. We're separated by 9 years, so they would tax me. That's what would happen. I would try and hide my candy. You know, I had this. I didn't have a room growing up. It was mostly basically living in the living room. I would have like some blankets and shit like that I would sleep in front of the TV. And I didn't have a room of my own. So, but I did have like a toy chest. So that was like the only place where I could hide stuff. And, I had this little like, pail of Army Men, like this plastic pail with Army Men in it. And I would hide things at the bottom of it and put the Army Men on top. So like to conceal it. My brothers were onto that shit immediately. I remember like getting home from school and like Snickers sounds like a pretty good thing right now. Yeah. Opening up the pail and just seeing all the Army Men all over the place.
Oh, fuck.
And opening it up and it's just like all the Mexican candy and all the other stuff that nobody likes is all there.
All the Chiclets.
But all the M&Ms, the Snickers, Mars bars are all gone. Fuck. And I was like, yeah. Man, growing up with two big brothers is sometimes cool, but sometimes they, you know, steal your candy.
Damn.
This is a spooky season, and I think ghost stories are kind of a part of it. I don't have a lot of ghost stories, but I have some pretty scary stories. You think it would be cool to just fucking start talking about fucking ghost stories?
I have one for sure that is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
That is a true story. Like, so these are all true stories, right?
Yeah.
So mine, I'll try to think of another one. So like you go first.
Yeah.
But I have like one scary one that like legit happened to me.
But people are probably expecting me to tell some, like, I don't know, like some,
like La Lorena,
I don't know, like Llorona or something like that. I had something happen like near Halloween that has absolutely nothing to do with ghosts or spirits or aliens or any of that shit. But it was like, it was a traumatic and scary ass fucking experience that I had. My mom did her best and my dad did her best, but they exposed me to some things that were probably way beyond my ability to process when I was a kid. Number one is we had cable TV. So my mom would just basically put VHS tapes and just hit record, and she would record 2 or 3 movies. And when I would get out of school, she would be like, "Hey, I'd record some movies for you if you want to watch them, you know." Night of the Living Dead.
Hell yeah.
Cujo. Like, all the scary ass fucking movies that I would watch and not sleep at all during the night, right?
Here you are sleeping on the couch, so you're like, just fall asleep watching this horrible film.
Yeah, here you go. Night of the Creeps. Yeah, enjoy Night of the Creeps. And no, there's no alien slugs coming up your nose and planting fucking eggs in your brain, and you're gonna turn into a zombie, dude. Freak out. We saw a few dogs out there recently, and I told you the beginnings of this story. I'm not afraid of them, but I never want to own a German Shepherd.
Why not? I've had two really good German Shepherds. But the crazy thing is, when they get older, they don't have patience. So
I'll tell you my horrifying story with German Shepherds.
Okay.
My mom was a saint. She tried to rescue every animal she would come across, and she was all about animals. She had birds. I grew up with a full garden with fruit trees and flowers, and she had birds and canaries, and every now and then she would rescue dogs and stuff like that. So she would do some of that. And she, the best intentions were always there. We had two German Shepherds. I think I was like five or six when these German Shepherds were there. And they were pretty cool. I was kind of scared of them because they were big. You know, when I'm a kid running around. And also, I just watched Cujo. So I was like, my main fear is that one of these dogs is going to get bitten by a bat. It's going to go nuts. It would rabies or some shit like that. I would respect them, you know? So the female gets pregnant. And it was like, my mom was like, yay, we're going to have puppies. And it's like a whole thing. And I'm like, yeah, puppies. I mean, that might fix my unreasonable fear of these two dogs.
And you're like 5 years old?
I'm like 5, 6 years old. The female gets pregnant, and, you know, my mom separates the male because, you know, I don't know, they're weird together. My mom prepares like a little area for them, and my mom's all about experiences. So she's like, hey, I want you to be standing next to me when these babies start getting born, so you get to open up the sack and stuff like the amniotic sack and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, mama.
Fuck.
So I'm standing with my mom, and, you know, dog starts like panting and crying. So my mom's like, oh, it's about to happen, mm-hmm. right? So I'm there. My mom's like helping the dog with her labor. By catching these puppies as they come out. Two puppies come out, and out of nowhere, this female German Shepherd starts going nuts.
Like how?
I'm five. My mom is like, she's wearing like these yellow kitchen gloves.
The ones you do dishes with.
Yeah. And she's like capturing like, oh, there's one. And then like I'm like opening one. And as I'm opening one of the sacks, which is also like hot, like my kid, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
The dog starts like. Like her whole semblance changes.
Do you think it's me?
She was like crying, panting, and like licking herself. And all of a sudden she's like. And I'm like, maybe she's like being defensive about her babies, yeah. right? So I immediately drop this puppy from my fucking hands as a kid. It doesn't fall that much. It falls into this cardboard box nest thing that my mom made. And my mom's trying to calm me down. Oh, it's fine. She's just, you know, she's just worried being defensive. She just snaps at my mom's hand. My mom's just, fuck. I think she's probably protective of her puppies now. My mom's on the same page now. I'm backing the fuck up. I'm like, what the fuck? Cujo in my mind, right? She's like barking at both of us. The two puppies are like right next to her, and she just like, she stands and starts barking at us. So my mom grabs me and pushes me back to the wall. This is like a garage area in my house. I'm looking for a weapon. You know, I'm a kid, but I know enough.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for a weapon. I see this big ass hammer on the corner, and I try to pick it up. It's too heavy. So I next to it is like this axe handle, this wooden axe handle. So I grab that thing and I'm like fucking, you know, ready. And my mom's holding me back. It's like, oh, you probably need to like give her some space and some time. The dog proceeds to kill both of those puppies in front of me. Like she grabs them by the neck, just
fuck.
And like she tries to eat one of them. And she's still, there's still more coming.
And the puppies are like squealing and shit?
Yes, Eddie. Yes.
Oh my God.
I mean, Silence of the Lambs. Can you still hear them screaming, Clarice? I can still hear those fucking puppies scream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like I'm standing there like,
you're crying?
I am. I'm fucking losing
little
my shit.
Bitch. You little bitch.
Yeah, I am a little bitch. My mom's trying to call me.
I'd be crying too.
She's like, oh, no, it's fine.
My pants.
She just, the dog, she's just afraid. And I start seeing her like killing her puppies. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I'd probably be bouncing at that point. I'm out.
My mom grabs me by the arm and she takes me into the kitchen and closes the door. And there's like a little screen window. And we're just seeing this, you know?
Why are you watching it?
Because I'm
curious like me. And I would have done the same shit.
So I think she had two more and she killed both of them.
Fuck.
Did
she finish a full dog, you think? Like, did she eat it or just like?
She would try to. Like, I don't know what was going on. Like, it was nuts. My mom kept trying to explain it away. Oh, she's in fear. All this and all that. And in my mind, I'm like, that fucking dog has rabies or like a bat probably bit it. In my mind, I'm like, this is Cujo. We're living in the movie Cujo. So I'm like, I don't want to be there. My dad comes over.
Well, because she ate two, but two were still okay, right?
No, the two that came out after that we gave them space. Killed four of them.
Holy shit.
She after killing them though, she like brought them like close to her, so like they could feed. But these dogs are dead now.
Oh fuck.
So, like, me and my mom are, like, in the kitchen, and my mom's trying to calm me down. I'm losing my shit. My dad comes down and looks, like, what's going on, you know? And my mom's like, oh, no, she's fine. She's just really stressed, and this happened. And my dad's like, we need to put this dog down. And my mom's like, no, she's fine. Like, this, I've seen this happen with animals that get nervous. Like, there's a lot of stress. And like, my dad's like, are you sure? Like, we need to take care of this somehow. Like, my dad was like about to go get a rifle. You know?
Yeah.
And my mom, like, no, I'll take care of it. Okay. You know, my dad like says, okay. I remember he does one of these and he goes to the living room and just sits down, starts listening to music. I'm losing my shit with this dog just going nuts. My mom tries to go in there again, like, tries to be like the dog whisperer, you know, says her meon, just like, you know, to try to calm this dog down. I'm behind her with that axe maul. So I'm like, and then my mom's like, oh, stay in the doorway. So I'm staying in this fucking doorway, but I'm not letting go of the stick. She almost bites my mom's hand again. So like, there's no, what do you do? My mom opens up the front door. It's like a garage area. So there's like a front door that goes out. And this and she takes out this like shovel that was in the corner of this room and just like with the shovel just starts pushing the dog out, just biting at the shovel, biting at it. Like my dad is getting the rifle, you know. And I'm in the doorway, so my dad just pushes me out of the way. And before he did anything with that rifle, this dog just runs into the street. There's like a ravine near the house that I grew up in. It didn't have a fence back then. And this dog just ran to this ravine. My mom is trying to like, fuck it. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Meanwhile, you have this crime scene in your garage.
It was a murder scene. She took all the puppies and put them in this bag. And like later that night, she went to like
Pesole.
No, we did not. We're not from that part of the world. The dog was out there somewhere, and it just ran, and we could hear it like howling.
For how long?
Days. Days.
It never tried to come back.
So my mom went and buried the dead puppies, like outside in a fucking ditch. This crazy ass dog went over there, unburied them, and took them with.
What the fuck?
So this dog was out there just howling.
Ooh. Do you remember what the dog's name was?
Nikki. Rocky and Nikki.
How do you say like La Llorona and
La Llorona?
But it would be like,
yeah,
the dog.
It was a dog, Llorona.
Maybe that dog, yeah.
So like, I'm five, right? And all I know is that there is a murderous dog that killed her own babies that is now howling out there somewhere in this fucking hillside that then went and unburied her dead dogs. And I don't know what it's like. Did it eat them? Is it trying to raise them back from the dead? I don't know.
How old was that dog?
Probably like 4 years.
It wasn't even that old.
No. And rabies was like, again, I'm a kid, but all I know about all this shit is rabies. So maybe rabies. I don't know. Days howling in the middle of the night.
When did it like stop?
After the third day, a neighbor somewhere, like I remember these conversations that some of the neighbors had with my mom's like, yeah, you need to call the dog, La Perrera. We need to call somebody like animal control. Back then, no, it wasn't animal control.
It was the cops.
The cops would show up and shoot that fucking dog.
Yeah.
And which eventually a cop showed up. And I remember there was this cop back then they would walk the neighborhoods with a whistle in the middle of the night. It's like, hey, we're here. We're watching the neighborhood. That shit doesn't happen anymore. But back then, that was still the case. Huh. And I think that cop or somebody, like in the middle of the night, we heard a gunshot. And that was the end of that.
End of Cujo Nikki.
But every now and then at night, I'd hear that fucking howling shit going on outside. I didn't go out at night for a few years after that experience. You hear all these stories about like how dogs are such a blessing and how, you know, we don't deserve dogs and stuff like that. That was like,
that wasn't true for that dog.
That wasn't
true
for that.
What about the male German Shepherd? What happened to him? He just lived a long, nice life.
No, my dad got rid of him too.
Oh, really?
Almost immediately.
Like, cause he was like probably birds of a feather.
Though whatever was affecting that dog. And again, I don't know what it was, but it just like a switch. Huh. It turned from like a panting, scared mother dog having babies to this.
Do you think maybe because she was helping the dog and the dog like maybe wanted to do it itself, or
I don't know. Okay, but I don't know.
Huh.
I remember its complete energy just shifted from, oh, thank you for helping me with this. I'm kind of scared. Oh, calm. Thank you for calming me down and like petting me and stuff like that. I was there too, petting and like, oh, it's fine. And to murder, just eating and murdering puppies coming out of itself.
Fuck.
Like that was a horror show. That was a horror show.
Did you get any dogs after that?
No.
Shit.
For a while.
Not even like little chihuahuas?
For a while, there was a no dog policy after that experience. It's still something that kind of like when I see them out there, like a German Shepherd, I remember Nikki.
Oh shit!
I could remember Nikki.
Imagine if it would have been like a Belgian. It said,
"Oh, I don't think they existed back then." But yeah, imagine that. Yeah, that would have ripped off. I mean, she at least two occasions almost got my mom in the hand, and that, you know, a dog like that's
gonna
rip you open. But yeah. That's my fucking scary ass fucking
German Shepherd, which was the first one I had was the nicest German Shepherd ever. And I remember we were having a party, super fucking drunk. And I'm like cooking hamburgers and hot dogs. That's real great. Be super drunk and like operating a barbecue. And I pull a hot dog off and I go to feed it to the dog. And I'm so drunk and my response so slow that the German Shepherd engulfs my entire fucking hand. And I remember just laughing with the dogs. Like, he's like eating my fucking hand too. And everybody's looking at me like, what the fuck? Get your hand out. I'm like, oh yeah.
You want a Belgian Malinois?
I do, but I know better because I don't have the time that it takes to devote to them.
Those things are...
It's your full-time hobby. So, like, you shouldn't get one if that... You're not ready for that to be your small child for 10 years.
I don't think longer. I don't know about calling it a small child.
You have it has to be your main hobby and your life.
A friend of mine bought one. After I told him that probably not to.
Yeah.
And it ate the crate.
Yeah, they'll tear up everything.
It ate the dog kennel that it was in. It ate that.
They're like violent goats. They just destroy and eat everything.
We used to have three of them at work.
Shit.
Like, there were like one of them was a trained as an attack dog, and the other two were detection dogs. The detection dogs, like for drugs and explosives, they're fine.
Yeah.
The attack dog was not fine. There was a lot of inbreeding with that Belgian Malinois. It had both of its eyes like in the front of its head like that.
Well, it was all small.
It was like, there was something going on in the gene pool of that dog. We had this joke. I think his name was Serrucho, which means saw. It had more biting incidents with people that I work with than anybody out there.
Nobody wanted to work with it.
No.
Like imagine you release, you go to release the thing, and it just, you're like thinking it's gonna go after like this bad guy. Just turns out.
There was somebody that was like a dog handler, and I remember they had this program where you would go to the schools and they would bring the dogs so like people could see them and shit like that. And this guy's doing a drill where he's like, they put a car into this like big open space at a school, and it was going to demo how to search a car. Mm-hmm. So he brings this car around. He's like searching around this car, and this fucking dog just bites the handler right in the ass.
Oh my God.
And rips a hole in his pants.
Everybody's and laughing.
These kids, he couldn't continue on. They were like, ah. And this guy's trying to hold his pants together and continue on with the drills. Like, one of our guys.
Why did the
like,
dog this, bite him? It just
didn't like him.
God.
Yeah. We're the amount of. The amount of like negligence shown to these police dogs that we were working with is pretty bad, man. There was no culture around it. I never saw one of them find anything realistically. Shit. I mean, they would find food in cars.
Yeah.
Every now and then I would man a roadblock way back at the beginning of my career. We'd see some of them. Oh, let me, we just got a quick drug search. And it would like come. I remember this one car had a family in it. And it ate,
ate all their cheeseburgers.
They had like two bags of like Jack.
Like,
they had these two bags of Burger King bags, and it's like, it's like, shh, come on, come on. It's like a little shirt together. It just came out with all the meat. And this cop is just paying these guys out of his pocket because the burger, so they get into trouble. But I don't know, like dogs. Specifically, this Belgian Malinois, which I have some experience with, I would never choose to have one of them. I get people that do, and God bless them that they give these some of these animals homes, but they're
it's a full time job.
It's a full time job. It's a lot of energy,
and I want one, but I know that I don't have the time or am home enough to, you know, give it what it needs. I mean, my dogs are crazy as it is. So
yeah.
They're Queensland healers.
No, they're not. Or
you think they're raccoons.
They're too, somebody fucking cut the tails off some raccoons and sold them to you.
Yeah.
They're odd dogs.
High energy.
They're high energy, but they're odd as fuck though. Yeah. I've stayed at your house a few times, and what drives me nuts about your dogs is I wake up in like in the middle of the night sometimes, and they're just there standing on top of the bed like,
you gonna wake up yet or what?
Like, what do you want from me?
Like, motherfucker, you sleeping here. Why aren't you petting me?
I wanted to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of our Patreon members for their generous support. It's the only way we can bring some of these amazing people behind the microphone and have some of these amazing Midnight of the Soul conversations for you guys. If you're not already a part of the Patreon community, please consider joining us. We have our giant online training catalog for you guys to have access to, as well as some exclusive Sneak Reaper Industries merch drops for you guys at the Dead Drop tier. I would also like to thank the company Sneak Reaper Industries, one of our main supporters and a company that provides some of the most amazing urban wear, survival specific, and cutlery out there. Your support not only makes this show possible, but also supports some of the charities that we run, including the Fighter's Kitchen out of Puerto Escondido, where we're supporting some up-and-coming fighters under the tutelage of Eddie Farrell. Thank you for your support, and again, please consider joining us on the Patreon. And now back to the show.
They sleep at my feet, like, every night, and half the time I have to sleep in, like, a fetal position because I can't stretch out my legs because he's too... They're not really even fat, but they're, like, they won't move. I'll, like, try to stretch out my feet, and they're just like, I'm not moving.
Ghost.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I can't say that I don't believe in them because, like, I mean, I believe in anything, to be honest. I believe in anything until I see that, like, okay, that's not real. But, yeah, I think it's maybe something, like, interdimensional, maybe similar to, like, I don't think aliens or demons or anything like that, but I think, like, it's something along the same lines. There's, like, so much energy that...
Like a memory, trapped, like a memory, like a space that gets some like a memory trapped in it. Maybe
I think there's something to it because
you've been to some of the weird places that I've been recently when like that.
Some places like, and I don't know if it's your head getting in you, but there's some places that like you just don't feel right.
Dread.
And like, yeah. And like it, you feel like this crawl up your back and you're like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't.
Dread.
Yeah.
Like this dread, like this cold, like the temperature change, like the
yeah,
the
it gives you the chills and you're like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. What is that?
Fear? I don't know. Like it's something. It's maybe something bad happened there. I don't know. I mean never felt so like that this same house in Menifee. That like in the previous episode that I had that alien thing or that UFO thing where I parked in the driveway, I never felt it was a big house. It was like a big 6-bedroom, 2-story house. I never felt like not safe, but I never felt like, you know, like you go home and you're like, for sure there's no ghost in this house. Like you feel like safe and whatever. I felt like there was some oogie boogie shit like going on in this house. And I don't know, like when we were kids, not when we were kids. I mean, at the time I was like 16 years old or whatever, but, we would go like into the fields right there and I would find like Indian shit, like crazy tons of arrowheads. I would find the bowls that they would use. And like, even the mortars that they would use to grind corn, I would find all of these artifacts and like tons of arrowheads. I would find a lot. They were just like there. I am not saying that house is on an Indian burial ground, but I did not feel like from the minute we moved in, because I only lived there maybe like I don't know, a handful of years, but I never felt like this house was cool. Like I go into my house and I'm like, it's perfect. Like there's nothing spooky ooky going on in my house. Yeah. I've never felt good in that house.
You know what makes me kind of suspicious about ghosts though?
Hmm.
Like why has nobody ever seen like a caveman ghost? Or like a naked, hey, there's I saw a ghost, but it was carrying a spear or something like that. Is there like, do they have like a timetable where a ghost can be?
Well,
and also
was that then like full, like Homo sapien or like full Homo sapien? Like maybe like when they were still like, you know, evolving from a monkey, did they get a soul? Like do monkeys have a soul? Like do,
oh.
I mean, all dogs go to heaven if you believe that cartoon, but like,
and also like, the clothing aspect of like, oh, she was dressed. Like I saw a ghost of this woman in a castle, and they were like when you die, and Is the clothing you wear, is that your ghost clothes?
Yeah, how come the ghosts are never naked, like with a floppy dong or something?
Or like a medical gown. You would assume that there would be a shit ton of medical gown ghosts walking around with their ass hanging out behind them.
It could be, you know, maybe it's something that maybe it's how your brain is perceiving something. And then, but at the same time, maybe there is something interdimensional that just like is clicking and like your brain is trying to, you know, you're feeling something in this weird area and your brain is trying to configure it. And maybe,
I mean, your brain's always trying to fill in the blanks of what it doesn't understand. Mm-hmm.
For my story, I don't know what my brain was trying to fucking put together.
What story? What's your story?
Okay. To this day, it's not so much anymore. Not so much anymore, but for at least a good, like, I'm not afraid to admit this, like, for at least 10 years after this incident, I was legit afraid of the fucking dark. Like, now I don't fucking care, but, like...
You do care. You carry a flashlight.
No, like, I don't.
You're not afraid. You're not afraid to go somewhere really dark. I am. Dude, I'm fucking freaked out.
Nah, I got night vision now. So, but... night vision and plenty of PMAGs. But,
Do you think you could shoot a ghost? There's no way you can kill a ghost.
I'll try. Right.
You could try?
Dude. Anything I'm not of unsure of, I'm just going to go ultra
Hellboy, Hellboy bullets. You need some Hellboy bullets.
Ultra violence. And then if it doesn't work with ultra violence, then I'm okay dying. I guess. I don't know. No. So here's my story. I was recently divorced, single dad. And my daughter might have been at her mom's house that weekend. So I'm in this big 6-story house by myself. And I'm going to sleep. And I probably had the TV wasn't on. I believe the TV wasn't on. It was completely pitch black in the room. I may have even had the door locked because, like I said, I never really felt comfortable in this big ass house by myself. So I had the bedroom door locked. And I remember, I fucking hate telling this story. So I'm laying there. I used to sleep like kind of on my stomach with my head to my side. And then I think I would have my arm under the pillow. And I remember I woke up in the middle of the night and then I hear, let's see if I can do this in the mic. Like,
because I'm breathing?
Breathing.
What time of night is this? This is in the middle of the night?
Middle of the night. It's pitch black.
What happened? So you're tired. You're there. You're
just a normal day, normal, dude. Like a normal day.
You're alone.
Yeah. Like I probably, I don't know. I don't know what I was probably went to work that day or maybe had a day off. And
pitch black?
It's pitch black. It's the middle of the night in the room. And there's no street light. So there's like no light coming into this room. It's pitch black. So I'm laying there on my stomach and I hear like, right in my fucking ear, right here, right.
When you hear this in your head, somebody's breathing on me. What do you think in your head? Or like
terror. So and I can and now I can't move. I'm like
you wanted to jolt awake, and it's not.
I open my eyes and I can't move, but I hear like that, right? So all of a sudden, I hear. I hear I don't know how it's going to sound on the microphone, but I hear like this loud like a loud fucking demon roar, and I feel like not like this is actually kind of I guess what I felt. I felt like this incredibly large demon hand with demon fingernails push me. I felt physical pressure. I swear to God on this one.
On your chest?
I'm on my back because I'm laying on my stomach, and I'm laying on my stomach with my head tilted this way with my hand underneath the pillow. And I feel like this incredibly large, meaty, large, like fingernails like this, push me into the bed, and I just hear, and I felt my back get pushed in. I'm pushed into the bed, and
nothing else gets pushed in.
No, thank God. But right, one hand.
You can feel this one hand. Just I can grabbing. Feel
one hand. I'm getting the chills. I can feel one hand push me the fuck into my bed. And I already can't move. I can't move.
It's pitch black, so you can't see
pitch
shit.
Pitch black. I can't move. I can't turn my head enough to see what's in there. I cannot move.
Do you
move.
Feel numb, paralyzed? What do
I
you feel?
I feel terror. I can't move my body. I can't.
Are you, so, like, it's, when you seize up is one thing. Are you limp? Or is it just,
I'm limp.
Just seized?
I'm, I don't know. I can't move. It physically cannot happen. Like I can open and close my eyes. And so, and the reason why I can close my eyes, I'll tell you why in a minute. So I cannot fucking move. And I just hear, and then as soon as the roaring starts, I'm pushed into the bed with this hand. And I feel this hand push me the fuck into the bed. And then I can't move. I can't do anything. And then, so I close my eyes and I just start praying. And I'm just like, you know, like, Jesus, please make this stop. I please, you know, like da 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 da. Then all of a sudden, like, and then
when you say it,
I got the chills.
When you say it left, did you thought the weight of it just left you?
The hand got off my back, and the feeling of like something else being in the room left, and then I could move again. And then
like sleep paralysis.
So
demon.
Then, so most likely it was probably sleep paralysis. But like, I don't know if anybody's ever felt. I felt,
yeah,
a demon fingernail hand push into my fucking back, physically push me like more into the mattress of the bed. Because I didn't. I just had, you know, fucking, you know, ghetto dude. I had box spring and fucking mattress on the bed. I didn't have a bed. You know, it wasn't like there was.
Don't say that's ghetto.
That's what you have too. But it's great, you know, when you have company over because it doesn't make any extra noise. But you know, there was no noise of like a bed being pushed in. It was just my physical body in my back being pushed in. So I all of a sudden I know I don't know that I can move.
Yeah.
I open my eyes because I'm like legit terrified at this point. A couple seconds goes through. Get the fuck up. Like in one swoop moment, I open my closet, grab my my 12 gauge, flick on the fucking lights, and I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, and I'm checking this room. I'm opening the other side of the closet, and I'm just like, what the fuck? And then I'm like, all right. And I look at the door, and I'm like, this motherfucker is locked. Like, so I'm thinking like, somebody, the only thing that makes sense in my head is I need to clear this house.
Yeah.
So
something came in here and made contact with me. So it's somewhere here in the house.
Because something touched me. Like there's, I locked all the door. I locked all the doors. I, there was no alarm in the house or anything. So, but I locked all the doors. I checked everything like you do and then went to sleep that night. So I fucking like, I'm like fucking right there. I'm like, okay, I gotta open this door. Fucking open, boom, and like nothing's there, you know. And I'm shining the light fucking down in the hallway, black as fuck. And I'm like, turn on that light. So then I fucking go over to this room, and I'm like fucking pieing the room and shit. And I'm like, bah! And I'm like, okay. And I'm checking every fucking closet. And then I get through the hall, and then there's like a laundry cabinet or like a linen cabinet. Boom, open that. Then there's fucking behind the linen cabinet right here is the entryway to the attic. Open that up and fucking look. I think I fucking searched the entire fucking house, every closet. I fucking opened up the washer, like the fucking washer and dryer, anywhere where like somebody could hide. I fucking checked everything.
Fuck.
There was absolutely nothing.
What makes you say demon hand? Versus a ghost or
because,
something
because
else.
Because people don't have like
you felt.
I felt long nails.
I
felt the pinch. I felt the pressure of an incredibly large, like a bear hand. But I also felt the pinch of the nails into my skin.
Fuck. The claws.
Claws. And I, you know, like, you know, I was a pretty wild boy. I was, you know, I don't know. I was like talking to a lot of girls at the same time. And like, I don't know if this was like some kind of crazy punishment or something. Like, I don't
maybe you brought something with you back?
Dude, I don't know. Like, I was, you know, not like I'm like Mr. Holy Christian or whatever. I was living like a pretty wild life.
When you prayed, like.
That worked.
What did you say? Jesus, please make this stop.
Please help me. Jesus, please help me. Like, I couldn't tell you exactly what I said, but it was probably something with sheer panic that just kept. It wasn't like the Lord's Prayer or anything. It was just like, please help me. Like, please. I didn't ask for anything. I asked, please help me, but I didn't like. That's what it was just like, please help me, please help me. And then
in Mexico, we call it "te recargó el muerto," a dead man pressed you. That's what we call it. Like, I've never had that happen to me. I just have regular ass fucking.
I get the
daily
chills
nightmares.
Like talking about this. But it was the most. Like I've been pretty close to death a couple times. I've been able to like superhuman strength myself out of it, almost dying because of like doing, you know, as you call it, white people shit, you know. But like, this was the most horrific experience I've ever had in my life. There is nothing that
the lack of the possibility of an explanation for it. I get that
it was probably sleep paralysis too, but
we could say, hey, it's sleep paralysis. Your brain hasn't fully
become.
But
what the fuck pushed me into? Yeah. And maybe the dream was so deep, but I was awake and getting pushed into my bed, and I remember what the hand feels like, and I remember. The breathing was right by my ear, and then the screaming was made like, here's the breathing. The screaming maybe came from here. So like
it moved.
It moved when it pushed me down.
Fuck.
Like it moved further back. That's the way it sounded. Cause the, like just with that microphone right now, it moved, the sound moved further back. Cause I'm not going to say that I felt like air or something on my ear because I didn't feel it, but I did know the breathing was very close to my ear. Like it was right by my face, and then it moved back, whatever it was, the sound seemed to me further back, and then something.
Did you change anything about your life after that?
Yeah, actually.
What changed?
So I felt like I owed God something, I guess, because he kind of hooked me up with that going away. And as far as I could tell, you know, and I never like thought I should have like looked in the mirror to see if I had any marks or something. That would have been interesting, but I didn't think to even do that at the time. But, I was living a like kind of, I guess what you would call any moral life. Like I was talking to a lot of girls and like, not just talking and I was, you know, like,
aimless.
Yeah, kind of like I was on a path, but like just kind of, I was freshly off a divorce, so I was just like a wild boy, like, you know, just out there being wild. And then so I was like, I need to fucking settle down. And then my wife kind of came into the picture like right as I was like, I need to settle down.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this one's a good one, I'm gonna keep this one, you know. So like, and then I have never, you know, thank God, I have never had one of those ever again. Like I've never had sleep paralysis. Like, 'cause that's all I can think of. Like if I got to put an explanation to it, it was sleep paralysis. But I don't know that people have like a physical experience like that.
Yeah.
'Cause I legit felt it. But ever since then, you know, and it took like about 10 years, you know, when my wife and I were living together during those 10 years or whatever it took, I just have the TV on and stuff. And now I don't care. I can go to sleep in the dark. It doesn't matter.
I've never had any sleep paralysis happen. Yeah. I have
Some people get it all. Like some people like frequent it, and like the thought of that is the thought of like having it frequently is terrifying. Like terrifying to me. Like I would probably need to be committed if I like I would need met drugs. There's no way I could live a functional life if that happened once a week, once a month, once every 3 months. I couldn't deal with that.
I get lucid nightmares, and you've seen me do some capoeira and parkour.
Yeah, you've woken up pretty aggressively on some airplanes too before.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think my whole thing is, there's some people that can sleep and have a dream and they know they're dreaming. I disassociate like the deep way, like when I just a short nap somewhere, maybe on a plane, stuff like that. I'm off.
Somewhere. On another adventure.
On another adventure, and all of a sudden I feel like sometimes I feel physically. So
you're probably so stressed out that your body is trying to like just recover.
Yeah. I've never had sleep paralysis, but I've had the feeling of being trapped inside of a dream that I'm trying to crawl out of.
I am like legit like anxious after telling that story. God damn.
But never, never experienced like a waking that. It's always usually I wake up and I'm physically inside of the dream still with my heart's racing, or that I'm running from something, or like there's some horrible shit that just happened. But we did like, we would pile in 5 or 6 at a hotel room sometimes when I was active. And so I would see other dudes go through their fucking sleep apneas and fucking terrors and night terrors and all this type of shit. There was one guy who had that kind of situation where he said that he would wake up in the middle of the night since he was a kid, and he would always try and have all the lights on because he said that from the shadows this woman would show up, like a hag, like an old woman would show up, and like if there was like a shadow or a void of like, or like a closet door being dark or like a shadow in the corner, that's where it would come out of.
That's what a lot of people say, like with, because I did some research like on sleep paralysis, and a lot of people see like Slender Man, or they see this shadow figure or a person in a dark suit or something like that. So they see some kind of shadowy person. I didn't have that I could only open my eyes and close them. I couldn't speak and I couldn't move.
I've heard many stories like it, but it's always like a hag or an old woman of some sort.
Do you think that's because the people that you heard that from, like that's a very
La Llorona, maybe?
Yeah, like that's a very common.
It could be that, but like if you research it, that the concept of an old hag or a older woman coming out and paralysis and hunting children.
That's so, like death, though. I mean, Santa Muerta, and
I mean, it's not a skeleton. It's a
woman.
It's a woman. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that is. It's creepy though. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing this guy said, because he would have these experiences like throughout his whole life. Every now and then he would wake up in like in a hotel room with us, and he would be like, his eyes would be wide open, ugh, his chest would be locked into place, and he would be like that, and I'd be like, we would be like on top of him, like, hey dude, like fuck it, you're fine, you're okay, you're okay. He couldn't completely wake up. We would have to pick him up and slap him in the back is what he said he would do to like bring him back. And then
that boy needed an exorcism.
Well, funny enough, he did get a few.
Wow.
We took him to a few places.
Did it help at all after that? No.
Wow. No, he had some shit hunting him, I think, whatever it was. You know what he would do sometimes? He would put flour on the floor around where he would sleep.
Anything ever show up?
He said that he's like, sometimes he would like see like some bare feet and stuff like that marked on that.
I wonder if maybe he was asleep.
I've never saw it, but mind you, these are less stories he would tell us maybe to fuck with us or whatever. But he would put flour on the ground to see if anything would get near him in the night. I don't know what that is.
I think there's something to it. Like there's something to ghosts and stuff. As we're like in the background, there's all kinds of ghost stuff going off. But I don't know. I think. There is a component that your mind is trying to understand something, and you maybe you're exhausted and just like in my case, maybe I knew how I was behaving was wrong, but like I was like,
yeah,
trying to deep down ignore it. And it was,
yeah, it's a, you're forgetting yourself. You're betraying yourself. And it's like a weird moment where whatever is, and also like, hey, maybe it's all in your head. Yeah. That doesn't make it any less real.
No. Yeah.
It doesn't make it any less real. That's like, yeah.
I'd like to believe that that incident made me a better person, but how weird was it that I, something like that,
you yeah. know,
like that, like literally the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I mean,
I've never had that happen.
I'm sure you've had terrifying where it's like
multiple
out of like, your skin.
In a week, I'll have three bad nights, two or three bad nights. And it's depending on my day, I think it's usually what kind of triggers some of those nightmares and shit like that. But it's mostly either a memory or an experience that I had that manifests itself inside of a dream, which is like freaky sometimes for me because
is it revisiting that experience, or is it like similar to, it's like changes it up a little bit?
It's a bad experience or a traumatic experience juxtaposed over something that is present.
Maybe it's you worrying like, I don't want that to ever happen again.
Yeah, but it is physical though. Like if, again, you've seen me kind of like jolt out of.
I've seen you on the plane. You kind of striked, you know.
I don't know. And you Mexico has all like fucking I think every culture has ghosts and like ghost stories and shit like that. Every now and then at night, you know, you're somewhere and you fucking hear these fucking things. Yeah. You know, we had a radio show in Mexico. I don't know if it's still on, called La Mano Peluda, or The Hairy Hand. And, you know, you'd be on watch, fire watch, somewhere in the middle of the fucking night with a bunch of dudes with guns. And you're like, hey, guys, did you see that? And like, we see what? And like, dude, your mind starts fucking playing tricks with you.
You're trying to fill in the blanks.
Three days of sleep deprivation, you start seeing shit.
I did a fast once for 14 days, and by day 7, I was hallucinating.
Yeah. What were you seeing?
Just basic, like ghosts. Basically, I was seeing shit move. I was seeing like just shadows move. I was hallucinating. I was just seeing like you know when you're super fucking tired and you're driving when you shouldn't be. You start seeing somebody ran across the road.
Yes.
Was seeing that, but in my house.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I would drive, you know, for long periods of night, fucking deprived, and I would see.
They say that's worse than being drunk.
Yeah, completely. I mean, drunk usually doesn't give you hallucinations. Yeah. That's all you should say, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I would see like a man standing where there's nothing, or I would see, I remember having this moment driving fucking really tired. And I stopped at a gas station to fill up the tank. And I remember, in Mexico, we still have gas station attendants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I remember seeing a gas station or somebody standing next to the pump and just making it a point to stop right there because the gas station attendant is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting out of the car to stretch, and there was nobody.
And the attendant's like, what the fuck are you doing,
There's no.
I know, but you had to, like, keep driving, right? You weren't the pump.
No, I stopped at the pump.
Oh, okay.
Because there was I saw somebody there.
But you didn't, there wasn't anybody.
I got it there, I opened up, and I said, hey, just fill it up with the.
So your mind was filling in the blanks, so they figured somebody
I
should be there.
I think so.
Yeah.
One thing with me is that I always doubt myself because I've been hitting the head a shit ton of times. And also I went through some shit, and I know most of that has done probably some damage to my head. So I'm always doubting my experiences. That's why I always like ask people like, hey, did you just see this? Or like, did you have the same experience that I did? For me, ever since I was a kid, you know, from my mom trying to explain away and like try and shield me from this cannibal dog that we had to other things that would happen, you know. She would always try to like explain it away, or like, oh, it's fine. It's like, it's just, this is normal. But my other uncles and my brothers were just assholes, and they would just fucking tell me scary fucking shit about the world. I remember being, I don't know, like just being this kid, 10 or 11 or something like that, and having my, one of my uncles tell me like, oh, yeah, like, haven't you ever seen that lady that comes by? And there was a lady that would sell tamales. And she would walk around with a wooden pole and two buckets on each side of the pole and yell, tamales, tamales. This lady lived for 1,000 years. She was always selling tamales. And my uncle told me like, oh, the tamales, you know what they're made out of, right? I said, no. And he pointed at my belly. It's made from entrails from children. This is my fucking uncle, piece of shit uncle. Piece of shit uncle. I'd be like, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, that lady over there? Yeah, I saw her once. She got tired. She thought nobody was looking. And she took off her legs. And I could see her real feet. They were hooves.
Oh, shit. That is fucking with you.
It was so vivid, you know, and also I have a fucking, I'm a kid, so I have my imagination was fucking running wild, probably. And I could, every time she would pass by, I would be looking at those feet, right? Are those real? Is that how she's hiding her feet? She said, yeah, because for some reason in Mexico, the devil has a chicken foot and a cow foot, mm-hmm. or like a hoof. Like that, no, she, that's,
how old are you?
To 10 or some shit.
Goddamn, 10. So you're. What age did you think, like, okay, I know that can't be true. Like, what age did you, like, these fuckers are...
I've never outgrown it, I think.
Holy shit.
I mean, realistically, with some of the shit that I've been through and, yeah. like, some of the stuff that... Dude, we grew up in an age where, like, UFOs are probably... There's something to them, maybe. But maybe they're fake. Maybe it's all bullshit. Maybe it's nonsense. Maybe we're, like, it's mind's playing tricks on you. You outgrow some of that shit. Or you become a rebellious teenager and you read a lot of books on atheism and you fucking watch Christopher Hitchens on YouTube and you're like, nah, fucking this whole spiritual shit's bullshit. There's no God. There's just what we see in science and all this shit. And then you go through stuff and then people approach you with their stories or you know, you have experiences. I don't know. For me, I've never outgrown the sense that there are things out there that I that can't explain and that there are things that might be hiding like amongst us. I saw this, I think, evolutionary biology study or somewhere online where they were talking about the fact that humans have the whole uncanny valley aspect to them. Like we can tell when something's CGI or something's mm-hmm. it's kind of off.
And it's getting hard though.
It's getting really hard with the AI now. But in the past we would see something like that or somebody wearing a weird latex mask or something like that. And they say that the reason why we developed this skill set, because it's a very powerful skill set. Humans can identify a shit ton of tones of green. Because our predators would hide in the green. That's one aspect of what we do. And we're also pretty good at telling when something's not quite human. Because probably somewhere in the past, there was either a subspecies of human or a completely different species that would look like us. That would probably want to eat us. Now we know that there was Denisovians and there's a bunch of shit like that. So like, fucking knows what was out there or what is still out there. You know, you talk about those like national parks and getting stuck.
That's a legit thing.
I don't know, man. My family has this whole the devil is like the enemy thing. That's why all my tattoos are anti-demonic, I guess. Mm. Because since I was a kid, like I hear stories about the devil showing up in your life, and that he shows up in different forms. And that you think you're dealing with somebody, and it's going to turn out to be him or the lady who walking around with the tamales, taking off her legs so she can, you know, reveals her real feet, which are fucking a hoven of fucking chicken foot. So this whole aspect of the devil's around and like seeking you out or trying to make you fall has been always like a traumatizing story, I guess, that has been kind of following me around since I was a kid. But also, I think one of the things that kind of skews my mind when it comes to like some of the supernatural shit is that I've seen ordinary human beings do super horrific shit to each other. So, yeah, I worry about a horned demonic entity maybe lurking in the trees. But also I know that a human being that looks just like me can do way more damage and has done way more damage to somebody than anything of that nature that I've managed to witness.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Some of my nightmares have monsters in them that are very much, you know, human.
I'm fortunate where I don't have nightmares very often. But also I don't think I sleep enough to get into REM either. I mean, I just keep going. So, you know, but yeah, I'm fortunate that I don't get them very often.
I mean, for me, one of the best gifts that I have is when I get really exhausted. Like I was pretty exhausted yesterday. I think I got to sleep at 2 a.m. and when I pass out, I'm like, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Like I have this thing where I'm like, if I pass out, I'm gone. But whatever reality I'm dreaming about, whatever that is there, there's some sort of connection between the outside world and when I'm dreaming. Because I've had, it's very common that when there's rainstorms in Mexico and other parts of the world probably too, transformer boxes explode sometimes because of the wind or like a branch hitting them. And I would have dreams where I was in a car and I would crash and it would explode or something like that. And I would wake up and there was no lights because one of the transformer boxes exploded. So like, that's a weird, I don't know what's going on there. Am I dreaming about?
Maybe you're kind of, your brain's kind of in two places at once. And it's like, I heard that noise.
Yeah.
Let me put it into whatever he's thinking about now.
And one of the best things I've found out for myself is, and this is like goes out to all of you guys out there, if any of you are struggling with any sort of sleep situation,
rub one out first and then go to sleep.
Don't sleep with a loaded gun.
You're welcome, guys. That's the great advice.
No. You're gonna get another one of those visits. Don't sleep with a loaded gun.
Motherfucker, don't wish that on me.
White noise has been one of the biggest gifts that I've gotten. A friend of mine taught me about that. He's like, hey, the reason why you're waking up so much is because you're stuck on survival mode and you're trying to hear what's going on outside so you don't let yourself fully go into REM sleep.
That makes sense.
So that's why, like, I have these. I have a...
You're not fully comfortable.
No. I have a speaker, or if I'm alone somewhere, I'll turn on like ambient sounds. My favorite one is one. There's a few like YouTube channels that I put on. It's like 9 hours of sleeping of a car in the rain, and it's a recording of that. I remember one time.
How come you don't do any of that when we're in a hotel room? Do you feel like you don't need it, or
I feel like I don't need it.
Okay.
And also, I don't want to freak people out with the fact like, hey, good night, guys.
I sleep Let perfectly me- fine with like.
Good night, guys. Let me turn on this forest in the rainstorm.
That wouldn't bother me. I sleep through snoring, so.
Hey, come on. I remember having this one night where I turned on this fucking forest sounds, right?
And there's a monkey. You're like, fuck.
You fucking ruined my story.
Are you serious? Is that really what happened?
So I'm like in the middle, just like, this fucking, it's like a calm rainstorm and you can hear it like falling on the leaves. 3 a.m.
Holy shit. Why would they put that in the middle?
No, like, it is like, I fucking wake up like, motherfuckers, like 9 hour video. I go into the comment section. I was like, ha ha ha. Somebody somewhere is discovering this fucking bird screaming in the middle of the night. God
damn.
So it's all these warnings on this fucking video.
Oh.
And when I wake up like that, I don't go back. I don't go back to sleep. That's why I usually wake up like as soon as the light comes on. So if you have issues with sleep, white noise helps. I just discovered weighted blankets. Yeah. Thanks to you. You fucking got me. How heavy is
20 that? Pounds.
20 pound weighted blanket is, I don't know. I haven't figured out how to describe why that's so.
Yeah, I was asking you like, why do you think that helps? Cause I don't use one.
I have a thing when I'm sleeping, I'm just doing this tossing from mm-hmm. one side to the other, kicking,
so it forces moving. You.
But if I had that, when I had that weighted blanket on, I was like, it's spin this way. And I'm like, oh, I can't because I'm heavy.
Yeah.
So it, I don't know. There's something about it.
Huh.
That and just like legit cut off all screen time, cut off all light sources from the outside and like get yourself in a dark place.
That dark place worked great for me.
And don't fuck around because then you'll
get apparently that's what it was.
Then you'll get a furry. That maybe it was a furry that went into your house like a very
just have one girlfriend, not like 11. I think I had at that time.
Damn it! All right. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Hopefully you don't have night terrors and
yeah, or have a dog that goes nuts. And
yeah, if you've had a similar sleep paralysis story, let us know in the comments.
Yeah,
YouTube or Spotify, I'd like to hear it. Let's see if I'm the only one or.
Man, are you sweating with that for a second?
No, because it's really cold in here, so this is actually really comfortable. Damn, I'm going to go take a picture in the alley with this on.
I should put on my furry suit.
Yes, let's go take pictures.